She Breathes Soul Stories, From Triumph to Transformation, a new kind of movement and podcast. I am your host, Jen Gulbrand, and I believe when personal stories are shared, they have the potential to create waves of change and understanding. Our first storyteller today is Jennifer Sullivan, and her story is entitled Growing Up with Spirit, The Ghost of Marianne Ely. Let me just say to our listeners that you are in for a treat, because Jen Sullivan boldly invites us into her extraordinary life. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you here. And there's a reason that Jen's story is the first story in our anthology, because it's just so fun and exciting. So, Jen, would you like to share an excerpt of your story with us?
I would love to.
Great.
Thank you so much. All right. Hey, Mom, guess what? I talk to dead people. This isn't exactly how I announced it, but for those who meet me now, it's one of the ways I introduce myself. Hello, my name is Jennifer Sullivan, and I am a psychic, rescue medium, astrologer, and firewalk facilitator. I'm sure you're smiling and nodding, wondering what the hell any of that means. And part of you might even be questioning my sanity. This is why I kept my gifts on a need-to-know basis for most of my life, due to fear of judgment from my friends, family, and society. I was adopted when I was 18 months old by Bobby and David Sullivan. Anyone who has had a child knows the chaos preparing for one, especially the first, the painstaking effort and attention to detail, like choosing paint colors, decorations, toys, and safety measures throughout the home. My parents didn't have that experience. They had a whirlwind 24 hours. My mother met me and spent time with me in a townhouse in Boston, along with my foster mother and the social worker from Catholic Charities. After that 1 hour, my mother had to decide yes or no. Surprise, she said yes and went home to prepare their new fixer-upper Victorian home in Scituate, Massachusetts, for a walking, talking, sassy-mouthed toddler to arrive the very next afternoon. And spoiler alert, this child could also see and talk to dead people. So who was I talking to? I grew up with Marianne Ely, the matriarch of the Ely family, the original builders of the Victorian home. Marianne adored that home and was often seen in my parents' room, the main bedroom of the house, with an incredible ocean view.
Wow. Jen, that story is loaded with juicy content and important themes. It's really great. You just like draw the reader in, which is, I think, one of the reasons we chose your story to kick off the book. I mean, you know, keeping your gifts hidden from family and friends, adoption and all that comes with that, of course, which I can relate to. I mean, just the imagery that you share in your writing is so beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So this is where we usually start with the show, because I think so many people are curious about this. You know, it's a big deal to share, you know, parts of our lives with one another, right? In this format. What inspired you to do that, to answer my call to be a part of this anthology?
Well, interestingly enough, I grew up in a family of writers. My grandfather is Robert Cormier, who was actually one of the very first young adult authors.
Wow.
And so I grew up with writing and reading being a very prominent part of my childhood. New books that my grandfather had written were always celebrated, and he often was on the banned book list.
Love it.
Yeah, so he encouraged us, as well as my mother and, you know, the family as a whole, to always read and to always read banned books. Read books that force you to ask questions, that challenge you to think outside and open yourself up to different perspectives.
That's so important.
So, yeah. So I always had wanted to write. I used to write stories as a child. In high school. And so for me, this was a way to be, to like get that out. And it was one of my personal goals on a vision board for that particular year to have something published, whether it was in book form, magazine article, whatever. And I had been published before in equine magazines for my other work as a horse show judge. However, my goal for this was to make it spiritual.
Absolutely.
And that was a really big step for me.
You know, it's such a beautiful story, and it shares so much of you that those of us who know you didn't know, which I think is part of this process that's so incredible, right? Like, we're all part of a community that spends lots of time together, yet those of us who joined this, this sort of challenge and wrote these stories, it opened up parts of us that people didn't even begin to understand before, right? So
absolutely.
I think this process of unraveling and coming out from behind sort of the cover of our book and really sharing ourselves in this way it's just so impactful. And I think it's created different levels of connection and relationship with one another. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I know that for me, it was really powerful and fascinating to really get to read the other stories that everyone shared, because yet again, as you said, it's something that it was different facets of them that
exactly.
I didn't know. And
yeah.
It allowed me to understand them more and realize too that I also related to many of the things that people shared in their stories because I had experienced it either in a similar way or could at least empathize
exactly.
in some way about their experiences.
Exactly. And that's really where this all started, right? When I decided I was going to write my book, Embody Your Essence, and share these layers of myself, and then the response and how everyone was like, whoa, I can relate to this and I can relate to that. And I think the point here, and that, you know, really that's what led me to say, hey, let's get other people to do this, because the process of it is very healing for ourselves when we write it. And then, of course, when we actually verbalize it, it's so liberating. But what I think where the magic comes is the response and it's like a catalyst for compassion, right? And connection
yeah.
with one another that wasn't maybe there before. Or it's at a different level, maybe, is what I mean to say. So, yeah, it's really been a year and a half of learning for me in this process. And I'm just so honored that all of you stepped up and decided to join me. So I appreciate that so much. I wonder for you, and this is one of the things that I grappled with this a lot. Did you have any fears or reservations about opening up in this way? I mean, I know you mentioned how you kept a lot of your, you know, psychic and spiritual gifts hidden for so long. And we do this, right? Because we are so afraid of how people will judge us or perceive us or if maybe we won't belong in some way. But this is very similar. When you were thinking about writing your story, did you have those kinds of fears about how it would be perceived?
I did in a way, only because it was so public.
Yes.
And I was in the public eye in a couple of different ways, particularly with my career path that I had I still do it. I judge horse shows professionally, and that was a big part of my career. And I knew that as I stepped more into embodying these gifts and stepping into like my true authenticity around them, that would most likely impact that. And so there was some fear there that I had to break through. And also, too, sharing it, being public with it, and, you know, if certain family members purchased it or other people. There was definitely some trepidation around that, but at the same time, I so badly wanted to share it that I feel that push far outweighed the fears.
Absolutely. So that, in some ways, I would say, probably brought about some kind of insights and self-discoveries for yourself, that process of kind of moving through that fear. So what happened then? How was it received?
It is pretty well received. My favorite thing that I got for feedback personally was my very first riding instructor, Roberta, who is like a second mom to me. She actually saw me make the post on Facebook, her and her daughter, and they bought a copy and read it.
I love it.
And that to me was, and then when she called me and talked to me about it, I was so surprised because she was probably the last person I expected.
Isn't that great?
Purchase it. And I loved that so much because it was really great. And she said, oh, I can't believe I never knew this about you. And she's known me since I was 7 years old.
Right.
So it was really interesting to see. And it was really cool. And she kept being like, you're not gonna walk away from horses completely, are you? That was her biggest question.
Right. Right. I know. It's cool, right? For me, it was, it's scary to do this, right? And some of the things I know that I wrote about, my own family didn't know about me. And it's really scary. But once you do it, it's so liberating, right? It's kind of like, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I've gone through, and this is how these experiences have shaped me. And it's sort of this acceptance of self that comes from the experience of, doing this, or, this act of kind of sharing truths about yourself. Do you agree?
I do. And, this is really an interesting process because when I sat down and started writing, believe it or not, I actually wrote the rough draft of my submission in one sitting.
Oh, I believe it.
It flowed so quickly.
Yeah. You were probably being guided by spirit.
Yeah. So it was very easy, but I had so many experiences with Marianne Ely in this house since I had lived there for over 20 something years. And to me, it was finding like the really key points of what were experiences that I could share that flowed together, that made sense and kind of gave this overall perspective around it. So, because I could probably write
an entire book about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and she was just such a fascinating person when you actually do the research around her. So it's one of those things that in the Ely family as a whole, so because they have a town named after them in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's my home state.
They were a very, very prominent family.
Interesting.
And yeah, so it's a very interesting story, and I could just write and write and write about it. So it was like getting those key points, and then I just kind of let it flow, and there was very little editing that we needed to do around it, which was even better, so that worked out really well, and I felt really good about that because I'm like, oh, good, it makes sense.
Oh, yes. You're a beautiful writer. Yes.
That I really enjoyed. So I think once you commit to the process and if you don't overthink it.
Exactly.
It will actually flow quite easily.
I think that's very true, especially when it's something that you've kind of been like keeping inside for so long. It's like this act of release that's really empowering, would you say? Yeah.
Absolutely. And for me, it was just more about fun.
Yeah.
Like, it for me, it was really about fun and joy and bringing that fun in, which is why I tried to make it a little silly and a little snarky, and because that's just part of who I am, being a Sagittarius and having multiple placements in Sag. It's I like that playfulness. I like that fun. And I wanted it to come off like that as well and not like some weird ghost story.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I feel like she had something to do with this. I feel like she was right there with you, helping you remember, you know, some of these fun, you know, interchanges and stuff, you know, exchanges that you had.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I wonder what she would think about the story. Has she told you?
No, she's crossed over, and I don't really check in with her much anymore, but she was a really interesting character, and one of my favorite things was when I was older, and in my early 20s, I had the opportunity, and this is when, like, online college classes were, like, just starting, like, this was, like, a brand new thing, and I remember I would be staying up really late writing papers, and I would have the door closed to this, like, we had this separate room that we were able to, like, put the computer in. And so I'd be typing and I'd have the door closed. And Marianne liked it if you went to bed. She didn't like it if you were up past, like, midnight, 1 o'clock. Like, that was, she'd shut the lights off on you.
I love it.
And so I would, the lights would start to kind of flicker a little bit. And I'd have to be like, do not do this. I need to save this paper and I need to get this done. I'd be like, don't you dare do this. Because that was before autosave.
Of course.
And all these things. Like, that was when they were recommending. I mean, God, I'm like aging myself here. But that's when
that's
they
okay.
were like, make sure you save every 10 minutes.
I'll age myself. I was typing my papers on a typewriter. So how do you think about that?
I learned to type on a typewriter. And so it was one of those things that was really interesting for me. And I loved the sound of a typewriter. My grandfather actually wrote every single book of his on a typewriter.
Oh, that is so cool. Love that.
Yeah.
That's a great image. Well, I'm just so happy that you did write the story, that you decided to join us, and that you and I agree, it is a really captivating and fun account of your experiences in that house and with that beautiful spirit. And just want to just express my gratitude to you for getting involved with this project. I really feel like we're just starting with a really important movement here. So I guess my last question for you would be, what would you say to other women who might be considering joining this truth-telling adventure and being a part of our next volume of stories?
I would say go for it, because I feel women... or those that even identify as women have this societal push to be quiet.
Oh, true. Absolutely.
And I think that the way we conquer challenges, right, is if we step into that energy, whether it's fear, anxiety, depression, any emotion that brings something up in us, like a trigger or whatever. The way we push through that is by challenging that energy, right?
Exactly.
So, for example,
moving through the energy, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But that first step is to challenge it, to meet it where it is.
Absolutely.
And then step forward. So I would say if there's a fear or anxiousness or those what ifs, I would say step forward. And even if you write it and for whatever reason decide to change it or decide to write something different, just doing the actual process of the writing itself is very freeing. But also I feel like it's time that women and those that identify as women to step up and share their experiences, because so many people can relate to it. And, you know, even if one person reads any story, it's going to allow them to step forward. You know, it's interesting. My grandfather, actually, someone messaged me about one of his books, and I came across a quote of his this morning, and he said, "My heroes are the ordinary, everyday persons who do their duty quietly, without fanfare, mm-hmm. whether it's fighting a war, or going to work every day, or being a parent. I feel that we are surrounded by heroes and saints in our daily lives." And I feel like that's
wow.
so true.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Makes me think of my father.
And I feel like we can, and yeah. we can be a hero to someone. Someone can read a story in a book, and like, I mean, there's, you know, 20 plus beautiful stories in this book, and any one of those stories can inspire someone to step forward and take charge in their personal life.
It's true.
So therefore, everyone to me in this book is a hero.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Yeah, because they stepped forward and their words can inspire others.
Absolutely. Storytelling is a catalyst for compassion, community, and connection. And that's what this is all about. So I'm so grateful you joined our show today. And I look forward to more of your incredible stories, because I know that you're going to keep writing.
And I'm working on my own book.
Good,
and we'll see when that gets done.
Well, when it does, we'll have you back on the show. So thank you for joining us. Thank you to our listeners. If you'd like to hear more of our stories, the complete She Breathes Soul Stories collection is available on Amazon. And if you have a story to tell, give me a call at the We Breathe Wellness Center at 508-343-7211, or send me an email at jen@jengulbrand.com. I can't wait to hear from you and to hear your stories. Welcome back to the Soul Stories Podcast, where each episode offers tales of resilience, growth, and courage. I am deeply honored to introduce our next storyteller, Lisa Pont. In her captivating narrative titled Finding My Voice, Lisa shares how she faced the devastating impact of bullying in high school, culminating in a moment of profound despair that led her to a suicide attempt. Fortunately for all of us, Lisa is here with us today. She has since found her voice, emerging as a beacon of hope and inspiration for others. Lisa, it's so wonderful to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Jen. It's so nice to be here.
We are really honored to have you here and to be sharing such a personal story with us. So I'd love to invite you to read an excerpt from your story, and then we can talk about it.
Sure.
Okay.
So between the bullying and dysfunctional relationship and the struggle to fit in, I was feeling very down. I finally hit my low freshman year. Every time I tell this story, my eyes start to swell and my voice chokes up. I felt scared and lonely. I experienced the darkest day of my life and a parent's worst nightmare. I couldn't confide in my parents, my siblings, or friends. My parents didn't communicate and express their feelings, so it was difficult for me to confide in them. They didn't believe in intercourse before you were married, so I knew if I shared this information, they would be disgusted. I felt stuck and alone and so isolated that I didn't want to live anymore. I decided to take my life.
Wow. Tears well up in my eyes every time you read that story.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, it's every single time I hear it, it's just got a completely different impact for me. So, and I'm sure for our listeners, because what a terrible place to find yourself in at that young age, at any age, but at that young age,
right,
when you feel so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to ask, I mean, I know you and I know how brave and courageous you are and how you've taken your life and really made it such a beautiful offering to the world, but our listeners don't know that about you. So I'd love to begin by just having you share what was it that inspired you to respond to my call to women to be a part of this anthology? What do you think triggered your yes?
I think what triggered my yes was that these feelings, these emotions, everything I had gone through has been stuck inside my body for years and years, and I've never been able to talk about it when it happened. You know, I went to one therapy session back in the day, and then my parents pulled me from that session and said, you don't need therapy, and everything's fine. And so from that day forward, I just kept this to myself, and it was so awful. And it was just like almost like creating like negative energy in my body, and I was ashamed, and it was just a very rough time. So when you had talked about the book, I thought, what an opportunity to be able to share this with others and try to help them and also just release that negative energy in my body and just let it go.
Lisa, that is so true because, and this is nothing against your parents because we've all been socialized to be fine. We're fine, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we have this big beach ball. This is the analogy that comes to mind. We have this big beach ball of stuff from our life that is painful and we just keep trying to hold it under the water. And it pops up, right? And it is. It's in our body. The issues are in our tissues. The body keeps the score. And, you know, even if you had gone to therapy and talked your way through your experiences, that only scratches the surface of what you embodied, right? Mm-hmm. From that pain that that dis-ease that we have, it, so much of it is stuck in our physical and our energetic bodies. So the fact that you had an awareness around that is huge, and that you made this choice to release it is had to have been a very powerful shift for you to be making for yourself.
Yeah, and I think you and I had talked about when I was writing my story, like how emotional it was for me. Like every time I would read or write, I would just cry and cry and cry.
Yeah.
And even now I have tears in my eyes talking to you because
it was big.
Yeah.
It was big.
It was big. And I think the thing that triggers me is that I love my life. And to think back that I was that bad as a child.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's hard.
It's so hard. And you're still healing. Healing is an ongoing journey, right? Like I write about that in my book, you know, it's just the beginning when you start to unravel those limiting beliefs about yourself that you've carried for so long that are just stories. They're just narratives. And yet they block us and they prevent us from being fully who we are and showing up in our wholeness. And so when you start to unravel that and pull it apart and rebuild your story or your narrative, it's a big deal. For those of you who haven't undergone this, it's a big deal. And I'm so proud of you and for everyone who moved beyond their fears to be a part of this. And let's talk about that. I'm sure you had some fears or some reservations about opening up in this way. How did you work through that?
Well, I just knew that I'm the type of person that I just say it how it is. And I feel that this was something that, you know, I'm not going to be ashamed about. It happened a long time ago. And I knew that I could help other people if I just became vulnerable and started to speak about it. And I had so many different people that I've met and I've spoken to about this or that have reached out to me and said, like, thank you so much for sharing this and being vulnerable, because it's not easy to get up in front of people and tell them this part of your life that was so dark.
It's not. But how did sharing your story allow you to reclaim power over that narrative, right?
Yeah, I think it just made me become more confident to realize that it's okay not to be okay.
And, exactly.
And that was a very tough time in my life, but so many amazing things came out of that with, like, my business and my affirmation cards. I think that happened in my life for a reason, so I am able to help other people with their mental health, and I truly feel that way. Like, I feel like that is my journey.
Absolutely. And now you're out there inspiring and empowering other people, right? By sharing what happened to you and showing them that you can move through even the darkest of experiences like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me a little bit about the feedback that you received from people that were closest to you, because I know that was something that I journeyed through. And, you know, we all have these expectations, right, of people, which we all know is the root of all suffering. We really don't. We got to let go of those expectations, because that's really not why we're telling our story. We're doing it for our own healing first. But were you surprised by the responses that you got from people that were closest to you? And do you want to share that at all?
Sure. So, you know, I had loved ones that didn't really want to even read the story just because maybe they weren't interested or whatnot, which was hurtful. I also, you know, was accused of putting my dirty laundry out there, our family dirty laundry, which, you know, this is my story and I own the story. And if I want to share my story, then I can, and if it embarrasses other people or whatnot, then that's really on them, you know.
Absolutely.
So that was really hard, and I feel like the people that supported me the most were strangers, random people.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, which is sometimes true in a lot of things in life. I feel like the strangers are the ones that, I don't know, pick you up and, you know, tell you that you're doing a good job and that they're proud of you. And it's not necessarily your loved one. So that's kind of interesting.
It is. And I had a similar experience where, you know, maybe I didn't get the response I had hoped for or that I had envisioned that I might get from people that I knew or those that were closest to me. Which, of course, then we get into our whole head game about that. But then complete strangers, like, to your point, were, like, so grateful. Thank you so much for sharing this. It made me feel less alone or less isolated or not broken, right? Because they could resonate with your experiences in some way.
Right, exactly.
And that's where this turns into, you know, the fact that this act of storytelling that we talk about so much has... It's a catalyst for connection and community with others. And I think that's
it is. And,
go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jen. I was going to say, like, the people that I've met that I've shared my story with openly, they then share their story openly. And I've met some really interesting people along the way that have dealt with some really tough things in their lives, like whether it be illness or family issues and whatnot. It's interesting, though, when you let your guard down and you talk about things that are really hard to talk about, then you actually open that door for other people to say, you know what, I feel comfortable sharing my story, too.
Exactly. When we tell our stories, it strengthens this connection that we feel to other people and that they feel to us, because it opens up this sort of permission, which is crazy, right? Why do we need permission? To be real, you know, to show up and talk about our experiences. And that's another thing, this whole sort of, you know, some of the responses you were talked about earlier, like, this is your, like, you said it, you claimed it, this is my story to tell. It doesn't really matter how the rest of you may have played a role in that, because your act of telling the story is how you received it, how you experienced it, how it shaped you, right?
Well, exactly. And I think, too, like, I think you and I had talked about this, but, you know, the a few of the bullies had reached out and and really didn't, didn't really realize the extent of the bullying, which, you know, everybody's interpretation and story and whatnot is different, but, you know, they did apologize.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And I, you know, I've forgiven for, you know, I don't hold on to grudges. We were all just teenagers at that point in our lives, like trying to get through every day and fit in and be liked and et cetera. So I don't ever like, I just, to hold a grudge, it's really not in my nature to do that with that whole situation. So, but it was interesting to hear that. You know?
Look at the ripple effect that that had, you know, in their own realization, their own self-assessment of their behaviors and who they want to be, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It's a catalyst.
And we're human. We're human, right? So it's like, you know, every day, I'm not the person that I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and every day I try to be a better person, and I'm sure they do as well.
Exactly.
You know, most human beings want to do well.
We do. We all want to be better, right?
Yeah.
So looking back on this experience that you had with us, writing your story, being a part of this anthology, how is your sense of personal empowerment evolved since being a part of this endeavor?
I would say, you know, it's really given me a lot more courage to speak and to share my voice. And I had taken a speaking course with a woman this winter and like writing presentations and just kind of putting my voice out there a little bit more. And so it gave me that opportunity where before I didn't like getting up in front of people. I mean, the thought of getting up and telling a story is just like making my armpits sweat, you know, it's awful. So, I think it gave me the courage
and the confidence.
I think it's going to open up other doors as well as far as that.
Absolutely.
So that's really exciting.
And telling your story is, in fact, starting a chain of healing for other people. And the work that you do with your business, LP Vibes, it's all about helping people raise their vibration, right? And so I'm so honored that you said yes and that you became one of our authors in this important project. What would you say to other women who might be considering accepting an invitation to join our truth-telling adventure? You know, I'm thinking about doing the next anthology, and I'm just wondering, you know, what advice might you give to somebody who might be thinking about it or considering it?
I would say, like, if you're thinking about it, go for it, right? Like, you're thinking about it for a reason, so trust your gut. And, you know, the experience that I had was the women were absolutely amazing. And I enjoyed, you know, when we had our sit-down, enjoyed each one reading a different excerpt of the book and learning about them individually, because I didn't know these women, really many of them at all. And I think it's an amazing opportunity to put yourself out there. Share your story, you
Absolutely.
Know, because somebody else is going to be able to relate to that story, I guarantee you. And if not one, there might be hundreds and thousands of people. You never know.
Well, I appreciate that so much. I'm glad you were a part of this. And Lisa, I know that we're all glad that you are here, that you're sharing your story with the world, and that you're continuing the work that you do with your business at LP Vibes, because you're making the world a better place each and every day. So I want to thank you for that. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. And thanks so much for the opportunity. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It. And I've always enjoyed working with you.
Oh, well, I feel the same. I hope that you have a beautiful day. Thank you for coming
you
on
too.
Today in your busy, busy schedule. And I'm sure that our listeners are going to be very interested in picking up a copy of the She Breathes Soul Stories to read your story and the stories of 21 other women. The book is available on Amazon. And if you are interested in telling your story, you can reach out to us at 508-343-7211 or send me an email at jen@jengulbrand.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jen.
You bet. Welcome back, dear listeners, to our final storyteller of this episode, where we're going to dive into the transformative power of healing and intention. Our storyteller is the remarkable Danielle Cleary, whose journey exemplifies the resilience of the human spirit. In her compelling narrative titled The Power of Healing with Intention, Danielle shares her personal insights as a cancer survivor. Through her courageous testimony, she illuminates the profound impact of a positive mindset on shaping the outcomes in the face of adversity. Welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thank you, Jen. I'm happy to be here.
It's so nice to have you here and to have had you be a part of this exciting compilation of women's stories. So thank you for that. I think we'd like to begin by sharing an excerpt of your story from the She Breathes Soul Stories for our listeners.
All right. So from June 13th forward, my mission was to rid my body of cancer. I went into action the moment I was diagnosed, a full 29 days before my first chemotherapy treatment. For my purposes, it didn't matter what kind of cancer cells were in my body, how far they had gone, or how fast growing they were. What mattered was that I evict them from my body by any and all means at my disposal. For those 4 weeks, I used Reiki, acupuncture, massage, cannabis, supplements, an alkaline diet, and the power of intention. Although I had already done some tests, the specialists at Dana-Farber like to double-check things. For those 4 weeks, they sent me for biopsies, ordered scans, and analyzed tissue samples. As the results came back, many of them different than what I had originally received, my mission remained the same: kick cancer out of my body. Early July brought the news that there were two tumors, not one, that they were not grade 2 cancer cells, but grade 3, the fastest growing type of cancer cells. They were strictly HER2 positive cells, not also estrogen receptor positive. Straight HER2 positive is a more aggressive type of cell. And the cancer had spread to at least one lymph node, despite no physical indication of that in my clinical exams. These had the potential to be very dark days. Some of them were harder than others, especially for those around me who didn't inhabit my body and couldn't feel or know what I did. The darkest day for me was June 23rd, the last day of school for my children, the day I told them I had been diagnosed with cancer. I physically felt terrible, which was unusual for me. Throughout the cancer experience, I normally felt pretty good. Maybe finally acknowledging this illness in front of my kids made me feel unwell, or perhaps I could fully feel the weight of the journey ahead. Having just met my doctors at Dana-Farber on June 21st, I had not done the scans and biopsies that would reveal the true aggressiveness of the cancer I was facing. I didn't yet know the facts of my situation. Filled with fear, uncertainty, and physical pain, as I lay in bed on the night of the 23rd, I knew I had a choice. I had to take control of the story that I was creating. On the darkest of days, I chose that this would be a story of healing. In the months leading up to my diagnosis, I had felt the cancer in my body and I felt the energy of the tumors growing. On Saturday, June 24th, the day after I consciously changed my story, I felt that energy lessen. In the space of fear and pain that I felt that Friday night, my brain wanted to think that I must feel so terrible because this is what it feels like when cancer is spreading. I knew that creating the future from that space was not going to go well. I asked Jerry, my husband, to sit with me while I actively transformed the story from "this is what it feels like when cancer is spreading" to "this is what a body feels like when it's kicking cancer out." The next 24 hours brought about a healing crisis, triggered by the numerous healing modalities I pursued while waiting to start chemotherapy and cemented by the story I created about what was happening in my body. Hippocrates, the first person to coin the name cancer, he lived from 460 to 370 BC and called cancerous masses carcinos, the Greek name for crab, also reportedly said, "Give me the power to produce fever and I'll cure all disease." On the afternoon of June 24th, 2017, I ran a fever localized to my chest. I lay in bed for several hours, heat radiating from my torso, unable to focus on a book or a movie or anything besides my fevered state. I experienced hallucinations during this experience. I heard voices whispering to me that this was a story of healing. When the fever broke, the tumors felt different, less dense. The energy of the tumors had dissipated. They no longer pulsed and throbbed and owned the landscape of my body. The mind-body connection is a powerful mechanism to behold.
Wow. Dear listeners, I wasn't kidding when I said she's remarkable.
Thank you.
This story is remarkable, and there's so much in it that I wish we had 3 days to talk about.
Yes.
But the nature of this show is not that, so let's get right to the point. Like, I mean, I'm sure everybody listening is going to want to pick up this book and read the entire story, but the fact is that your narrative around this experience is so very different than the stories that we are accustomed to hearing.
Yes.
Right? So how did the act of, you know, revealing this very personal story in this way contribute to your own sense of empowerment, which you clearly already have well established? But how did, like, sharing this out loud shift things for you, if at all?
Well, for me, I mean, I am someone who's deeply interested in health to start with. I was already a certified health coach. I got certified the year before I was diagnosed. So I shared throughout it felt like if not me, who else would share? I knew I was going to do this differently because I trusted my body so much that it knew what it was doing. I had spent years, I was 40 when I was diagnosed. So I had spent many years cultivating a deep trust with my body. And this felt like a betrayal at first. And then I was able to get back to a place where I trusted my body and said, okay, if I, you know, give it the right tools, it will heal. And I knew that in this culture we live in, there's so much fear around cancer.
Yes, so much.
And there's so much trauma sharing, and people don't handle it very well. And I had a lot of people around me having a really hard time.
Right.
And I just had to stay very clear with my own knowing of what was going on in my body, my own belief that our minds are very powerful, and if we can use that as a tool in our healing. And I just chose not to suffer. And so to be able to share this with people, I did do some blog sharing and Facebook sharing and whatnot when I was in treatment, but this gave me a chance to really bring it all together into one cohesive story and share it in a way that for me felt more like it I could then let it go, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. It had a place, it lives in a book, and it now can, you know, hopefully inspire others too, that suffering can be optional.
Yes. And that it, and this whole concept of the power of our own minds.
Yes.
And I think that maybe this isn't talked enough about,
right,
in general, but specifically as it relates to these diagnoses that people get, and you know, and the immediate reaction is fear-based of you know, I have no, this is it,
right,
this is my sentence, instead of, oh, what is my body trying to tell me, what do I need to learn from this, and then how am I going to change that narrative?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really powerful.
And I actually don't believe that I started cancer treatment a full 2 weeks or so after July 12th. So it was like almost 3 weeks after that fever. I don't really think I was in cancer treatment dealing with that while I also had cancer, because when I did get the results, when they did surgery a few months later, there wasn't a single cancer cell left in my body, which is,
that's amazing.
And I had only done a clinical trial. Like, I did a year of treatment after that. So it was like,
yeah,
you know, early days of treatment, but I know 100% that it started and may have even completed before I even started chemo. So it's something to be dealing with cancer that's aggressive and growing while you're also dealing with cancer treatment. And I was able to take the cancer out of the picture,
right,
and just deal with the treatment, which is enough. I mean, there's a lot to deal with that. But yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Do you find that the act of sharing this story strengthened your connection to other people in any way? Maybe people who have had similar experiences or very different approaches to their cancer?
I do. I did see that. And I saw that people actually, when you're vulnerable in a way, I mean, first of all, I was bald. Well, first of all, I dyed my hair platinum blonde because I wanted to lose rock star hair. And yeah. I thought, I'm never going to go platinum blonde. It's just a pain.
Right.
So why not go? Why not go out with rock star hair? And then when my platinum blonde hair fell out, then I was bald, and people were so kind to me and they were so generous, and they could tell I was dealing with something. And I saw this, like, I was clearly vulnerable, and people would share so much with me of what was going on with them. Even if it wasn't cancer related, I heard about people's infertility issues. I heard about people's just like things that people were dealing with. Their, you know, son's food allergy. Like I would hear about stories. And so being able to then share this in a more cohesive fashion, and I'm no longer bald, right? So people aren't going to come up to me and like start sharing anything. But I work in a chiropractic office. And so I've been able to really share with people in a way that, you know, they know more of who I am. I'm not just this person sitting behind a desk. But they also know that if they're going through something, I'm someone who can support them. I'm someone who has some tools. I'm someone who, you know, I can show up for people in a way, and this is, allows me, it's a vehicle for them to know that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what we're learning from this entire, you know, process and this whole project is, and which is really how it all started, is when I wrote my story, very raw and vulnerable story, very different, but still stuff that people necessarily didn't know about me. And that response that I got from perfect strangers, which made me realize the book wasn't just about my own process of unraveling and healing, but that it was actually a way to connect with other people. I think what we're learning from this process is, you know, 22 of us came together and wrote these stories, and we all thought we knew each other.
Right.
And then we, you know, we start to see these deeper layers of one another, and you have a completely different understanding of these other human beings.
100%.
So to me, it's like the aha moment for me is, why are we not doing this in mm-hmm. everyday life? Why are we hiding behind these experiences that make us who we are, right? We show just these top layers that feel safe. But when we actually do start to get underneath that with one another, when we show up raw and vulnerable and, you know, willing to be open and honest, I think it just fosters such a deeper connection and a sense of compassion and community.
I agree. And I think, like, so when I was bald and in cancer treatment and dealing with all of that, you know, it's a very contentious time in our country. It was then. It was an election year, and or we had just had a new president come in. It was just and people didn't look, you know, I was people were so kind to me. They were always like, can you want to cut me in line? I'm like, I'm not even trying to stand in that line. But like, I just saw the best of people.
Yeah.
And I think because when someone's dealing with something and they can tell that, they see through, they're just trying to be kind and to make your day a little bit easier. And if we all knew some of the deeper truths about people and what they have gone through,
right,
if we knew that collectively, I think this country would be a kinder place.
Absolutely.
I think the world would be a kinder place. You know, so anything we can do to increase compassion and understanding and connection, because, you know, I may not be able to see the battle you're fighting, but
everyone's fighting
something. And so whatever we can do to support connection and just understand that life is not easy. And it's not an easy time to be alive, I think. There's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of trauma and a lot of difficulty right now that we're dealing with. But really, at the core, we're all humans and we all go through things. And this is my thing and you've had your thing, and we're more similar than we're different.
Absolutely. I think that is a big message that we are all trying to shout from the rooftops, really, is that, you know, everyone needs to feel like they belong in some way. And it doesn't mean we have to be the same in order to be a part of a community. But we do all have these sort of basic instincts and basic needs. And I don't know when we got to this place where we felt we had to, like, pretend like everything was okay and that we were fine all the time, because nobody really is. And
right.
So why are we not being more real with each other?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, the question. And part of what this movement is about, which is, you know, let's kind of look beyond the cover of somebody's story and get to know them at a deeper level. And I think we're doing that. And it's great. I mean, we've the experience that we've had together has been phenomenal, and we definitely want to continue this and really offer the opportunity to other people who want to share in this way, because everybody has a story.
They do.
To tell, right?
Yeah. And I do think for some people, like, I had shared some of mine, but again, this gave me like a cathartic process to really revisit it again, get it into one story and share it and have it. You know, there's just a power in being able to release something.
Oh, it's so liberating, right?
And I think for some of the people in this book, they had never really written it down.
Exactly.
And it was such an honor. I read it cover to cover, and I was just like, it was just such an honor to be a part of people who are willing to share themselves so vulnerably and so powerfully and, you know, not knowing how it's going to go.
And so genuinely, like, when we pulled it together, we didn't edit people. Like, we, you know, we helped a little with grammar, but we wanted each chapter to sound exactly like coming from the heart of the soul of that person. So there's such a diverse tone and style, which I love because I think it's reflective of the entire project.
Yeah.
So I agree. You know, one thing that I also love to ask is, it's one thing to write down your story.
Yep.
And I mean, you're clearly a very talented writer, and you know that process, like you said, you know, this can be really healing for us to journal or to write things down. But what was it like the first time you read it out loud? Remember when we had a smaller group reading, but then when you read it in front of 100 strangers, was that different? And so, if so, in what way?
It was. So I ended up reading a few different times, and there's a couple different parts to my story. So there's my part of the story, and then there's my son was very ill with an illness that was, I didn't know what it was, and it looks like mental illness. And so I found in the reading that it was much easier to discuss my things and my illness than it was to discuss my son's illness, because that just brought me to a different, I couldn't make it through without crying.
I remember that,
And even actually, so when we did our reading in front of 100 people, my kids were in the front row. And so I found even just telling my story and bringing it back to them, I had a hard time. I choked up a little bit. But it was really, you know, it was a way my family all came. Like, I had a bunch of, my mom flew in from Florida. Like,
it was so beautiful to have your family.
I had so much support and, you know, I was so grateful for that. And it was a way for me to really, again, completion. It was just a real powerful sense of completion for something that was, at the time, very intense. It was a long, I mean, I was in treatment for a year and a half, but it was like building up to that because there were things going on in my household. So there was, you know, probably a 2 to 3 year process of all of this going down. So to be able to stand here on the other side a few years later and then also have had in the background this pandemic, it just felt very healing and very powerful and very just a sense of completion.
I love that. It's interesting because I've been asking some of the other authors to give me a word that sort of reflects their experience. And I love that yours is completion.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard empowerment and liberation. And I do, I think that's a really key and subtle point, but a very important one, which is, you know, this doesn't define you for the rest of your life on earth. It's an experience that you had that was very significant, but it doesn't define who you are from this day forward. It's something you experienced.
Yeah.
It's helped shape who you are, but it's not, you know, it's not the cover of your book. It's one chapter.
And I do think, you know, these are what I have learned. And even with my children, like when I was young, my mom had a stroke and open heart surgery. I think I was 6. So that's also the year that I decided I wanted to go to Harvard. So it's like out of great trials can come great, like, triumphs. So I saw my kids were young. I mean, they were 7 and 10 when I was diagnosed. I didn't know if I was going to make it. It was, you know, you want to protect your children from things. But I also knew, because I had experienced something at a similar age, that that going through this process would strengthen them. And when you then get to the other side, like, if we can do that, I mean, when the pandemic hit, I was like, oh, all we have to do is stay home.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Cool.
Exactly.
Like, I got this,
and
you know.
And be together.
Go
exactly.
on Zoom. All right.
Yeah.
So we had already been through so much that the pandemic, I mean, yes, it was all the things.
Absolutely.
But it was not as earth-shattering for us as I think it might have been for, you know, some other people who hadn't My kids had already been through like worse stuff, really, for the previous few years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's such a powerful story. And it is, I know we don't have time to get into all of this energy, but it's so much about your energy and your intentions that you chose to make a decision when you got this news and you shifted the narrative for yourself.
I did.
You did it. And I think that's the message, one of the most important messages I want to get across here on the show before we wrap up, which is definitely pick up a copy of the She Breathes Soul Stories and read Danielle's chapter along with the other 21 writers, because each story is so unique and so reflective of the diversity of the women who came together in this project. And you want to read the rest of her story.
Yes, yes, you do. There's another whole layer that doesn't sound at all like what I just read.
Exactly, but really brave and it was a beautiful contribution. I'm so happy you were a part of this.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, and that you're part of our community. One last question.
Yes.
What would you say to other women who might be considering joining our movement, this truth-telling movement, and potentially being a part of our next anthology?
I think you don't know how good it's going to feel until you actually do it. And yes, you have to like sit down and focus and write. And so there was, you know, it like I had some nerves around that, even though I had written, you know, plenty of stuff about this before. But it is a very cathartic process. And I do think it, you know, it just, I just don't think you'll know until you do it. And yeah, you won't get to feel what all of us have felt, this celebration, this freedom, like you said, this empowerment, this catharsis,
this
completion of whatever that may be, that you can really release it. It's no longer stored in your body somewhere. It is stored outside of your body.
Yeah.
And it lifts you up and lightens you up has been my experience.
It's beautiful. Well, thank you for being a part of this, the project itself, but also being here today. You are such an inspiring person. I'm so honored to know you. And for our listeners, if you would like to read Danielle's story and the rest of the stories in the book, the complete She Breathes Soul Stories collection is available on Amazon. And if you have a story to tell, don't hesitate to reach out to me at jen@jengalbrand.com or give me a call at the studio, 508-508-3437211. We can't wait to hear your story.